Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It was a meeting where a lot was done last night. I know the Hens got a lot of the focus, but there was a lot of good announcements that were made last night on various topics. So it's good to get through those topics.
Yeah, and we got to start with Hens. It's the talk of the town right now, and council approved a pilot project for backyard hens. Up to 50 properties will be able to raise between 2 to 4 hens where they can get fresh eggs. I know that you voted against, and I know in the past 3.5 years, every time that you voted against a motion, you always say, you know, even if it loses or it goes through, that you're just going to go with the decision of council. But maybe, can you just explain maybe some of the reasons why you're maybe a little bit concerned with the project?
Yeah, there's, for one thing, I grew up in a farm when I was young, so I'm pretty familiar with that, the circumstances surrounding looking after animals like hens, and it's quite a big job, and I don't always sense that everybody realizes that. So one of the challenges I think with hens is there's obviously smell, there's obviously the predators in this community. We're not like other regions in Alberta. A lot of people are comparing us to other regions, but we're in the middle of the boreal forest. But probably the biggest challenge I have is timing. We have so many other priorities going on right now. I just don't want administration focusing on anything else except some of those key priorities. You know, we're preparing for flood season. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We need to get the economy moving again, and instead we're focused on hens. But, you know, the council rule is that once a decision's made, notwithstanding your personal views, I support the decision of council. So once the decision's made, that's it. I support council. We had a lot of delegates last night in both directions on the hen issue, and they were very articulate in both directions. You know, I really supported there was one lady who spoke against the hens, and she gave a lot of reasons. She said there should be more consultation and more discussion, and she echoed many of the same concerns I've had over time. And I would just ask people, if they're interested in this topic, the council video is available and will be available online for people to look at. But it's a pilot project, so we'll see how it goes. And then if it's unsuccessful, then that'll be the end of it. If it's successful, then you might see more in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I know you kind of touched on, you know, some of the concerns being how we should be focusing on something else right now because we're in the middle of the pandemic, downturn in the economy. I know that Councillor Verna Murphy, who brought forward the motion last year, had noted that this could be helpful for, you know, those select properties who are part of this, as it does provide, you know, some healthy food source, and, you know, just allowing them to know that they have food for them and their family. So do you see any positives other than that coming from this program?
Oh, each of the delegates raised very valid points on all sides. And I listen to it all carefully. And there's times when you're swayed one direction or the other. But in the end, I was still fairly skeptical of the idea of doing this, especially now. There might be another time that I might have given it more consideration, but not at this point. But I believe it was 7 councillors passed it, so it succeeded. There was 4 against, and it's going forward.
Mm-hmm. I know that Councillor Sheila Lalonde tried to amend the motion, or I guess amend the land use bylaw by having the flood-prone areas, I guess, exempt from this pilot project. I know there were some concerns about if there was another flood, what would happen. There was a lot of concerns about different bacterias and things that chickens could potentially pass on. Are you concerned if some hens are raised in some of the flood-prone areas if we do see another flood, or are you confident that those who, I guess, are participating are taking the right measures and, you know, your officers would treat the hens just like they would, you know, dogs and cats?
Yeah, I think the argument against that that came up last night is that everybody should have access to this pilot project if it goes forward. I didn't necessarily agree that it should go forward, period, the whole project. But if it is going to go forward, is there any reason to exclude individual areas? And the argument that prevailed last night is that if we're going to go forward, then let everybody have access to it. If that motion had passed, it would exclude about 12,000 people from potentially those that, now I'm not saying a lot would do this, obviously there's only 50 available, but you know, out of the 12,000, one or two might be keen to try it, and why should they be excluded if the whole plan does go forward, which it ended up doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor Scott, let's quickly change topics to the Arctic Winter Games. I don't know how we can get a perfect segue from hens to the games, but we're going to try it. But we had some good news yesterday, potential good news. We know that the games were postponed due to COVID-19. We were supposed to host next year, and we didn't really know it when we were going to get the games again. However, it looks like potentially we might be able to get them in 2023. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like the games are going to go forward in 2023. That's subject still to confirmation. One thing I was really pleased about, and I said it last night, I don't want COVID to defeat us. And if the games had been canceled, I certainly, that would have been my own reflection on it. This pandemic is not going to destroy our plans for the future. You know, we are still a vibrant community. We still have a lot to showcase in this region, and the games are an opportunity for that. They're also a cultural opportunity for the people of our region. You know, it's an international event. It's great for our young people. The one thing that I think we're all saddened by is that some people who would have qualified this year may not, they'll be done, and they won't be able to participate next year. So that's an unfortunate aspect of this. However, the games will continue, and it looks like 2023 is going to be the time when that's going to happen. So that's a very positive outcome. It's not ideal. Obviously, we'd rather not have a pandemic, but if we're going to make the best of the situation, then 2023 is not a bad result.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're focusing on the athletes there and, you know, our fans here, where we can actually see some of the great young talent, you know, competing against each other. But this isn't the first time we would host these games. We recently hosted the Alberta Winter Games. Talk about a little bit of an economic stance. Like, these tournaments, they really do help the economy for that short time they're here. Is that correct?
Oh, it's a huge economic boost. It's stores, it's hotels, it's because there's people who come and watch the athletes. It's a big benefit, restaurants. So it absolutely is a huge economic booster to the region. You know, and most of all, I think we create ambassadors. We can't underestimate the value of that. There's still a lot of people in Canada who don't think this is the perfect place like we all do. That's why we chose here. That's why we live here. We think it's a fantastic place, but not everybody sees it. I have never met a single soul who's come here, spent time here, and looked around here who hasn't said this is a great place, just like what many of us feel. But they need the opportunity to get here and see it for themselves. And young athletes, when they come here, they can go away as great ambassadors for the future. And when people talk about us, they can tell a great story about this region. So that's something that I think is going to be important going forward.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're having international people coming into the region, again, I know when the Alberta games were held and we just had people across the province, and a lot of people were just like, oh, this is really Fort McMurray. I didn't have that idea that we're in the middle of the forest, just, you know, how cool it is. The fact that we're having people from, you know, different countries coming too, just seems like an added benefit.
Oh, it's a huge benefit. You know, we're getting a really good reputation around the world when we showcase this community and our facilities. We've got world-class facilities here. It's just amazing. And, you know, the people are top-notch. Look at our volunteers and our coaches. and our own athletes are, you know, at best among the bunch. You know, we have a lot to showcase in this region. And if you think about the indigenous people showcasing their culture in this region, it's just such a fantastic opportunity. And 2023, we're going to make the best of the situation and really showcase everything. So I expect that we will put on a great show and that we're going to make a lot of ambassadors during that time.
For sure.
And once again, Jaron, this is what we hope is the case, because the co-chairs announced last night that they are optimistic that it's going to be in 2023, but there's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we go through life with no guarantees, but we're going to work towards that goal if we understand that may be the case, and we're hopeful that it is. And we'll see what announcements are made in the future.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we were talking about backyard hens as well as the Arctic Winter Games. And Mayor Scott.
All right, so let's move topics again. And you guys got an update on your 10-year plan to eliminate homelessness. That 10 years is officially wrapped up. What can you share with us? I'm assuming from year one to what year 10, how much progress has actually been made on this?
You know, that we've made huge progress, and that was really acknowledged by a lot of the different groups last night. And we had a delegate who was an Alberta delegate who acknowledged the same thing. We have had a huge reduction in homelessness. And, you know, I just give you some of the numbers. The plan has seen many successes, including referrals to support housing for over 3,500 individuals and families, reducing the number of homeless individuals by 64% since the high peak in 2008. 80% of individuals or families have been successful in the program. So that's a program that's had remarkable success. And I give full credit to all the agencies in our region. We had several of them present last night. For all their good work in this region, they make a difference. And I communicated the appreciation of certainly Mayor and Council last night when they spoke.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, ending homelessness, it's a tough task. But do you ever see that this community could potentially get to that, where no longer we have people living out on the streets? I know in the rural areas, we have a lot of problems of people having to couch surf. Do you ever see that issue finally being resolved, or is this something that's just going to be an ongoing battle?
One of the things I mentioned last night is that you're always moving the ball down the goal field, but you never quite cross the finish line, but you always hope that you will. It's the ideal target, and you got to move towards that target. So, you know, I'm always optimistic. I think we keep working towards it. Look at the progress we've made. I bet if we'd gone back 10 years, might have been some doubters who wouldn't have thought that we made the progress we did. You know, in the rural communities, we've seen land transferred in Conklin and Janvier, and Senevitz was a great partner involved in all that. So, you know, we're making a lot of progress in the rural communities as well. So it's not just a Fort McMurray issue that we've tackled with success. It's throughout the region.
All right. Changing topics once again, like you had mentioned earlier, there was a lot of interesting items that were on council's agenda yesterday. And talking about some more positive news, Council is waiving the fees, business license fees for this year to just help businesses a little bit who are struggling. I know in 2020, the municipality generated, I think it was like almost $130,000 in revenue off these business licenses, which have to be renewed each year. So how expensive are these business licenses? Like, how far is this little added support going to be going towards the businesses themselves?
That decision is really important signal for this region that we are ready to get the economy booming in this region. You know, we've been through a pandemic, an economic downturn, and many other challenges. This is the first step that we've taken really to move forward. We gave a huge economic tax break last year. But this is a signal that we're really moving forward. So business license fees are very low in this community. They're $60 and must be renewed yearly. And in 2020, we generated a total of $127,315 in revenue. This year, we'll be refunding those that have already come forward. And in addition to the what's been done with the business licenses, I brought forward two motions that are going to be dealt with at the next council meeting on social procurement and red tape reduction. And these were spearheaded really by the Chamber of Commerce. So we are really signaling to business that we want to get down to work and make sure that they have an environment for success. And this is really part of that process.
We are in late March, so I'm assuming that a few businesses have already paid for their licenses. I'm assuming they're going to be getting refunds?
Yes, yep, they all get refunds, and it's going to be a positive for those businesses. It all adds up, and certainly they'll have the opportunity to spend it in the community rather than giving it to the government for licenses, so that's a positive thing. Mm-hmm. We have the lowest tax rates in Alberta, and this is just one more incentive to make sure people have an incentive to do business here.
Now, when we're talking about $130,000, it doesn't seem like a lot when we're talking about a multi-million dollar budget. But are there any concerns about losing that extra $130,000, which could be going towards different capital projects or different departments within the municipality?
No, and I think we as a council really see this as an investment in local business. We want to make sure that local business is getting help. And we've done various things in the past, including a huge tax reduction last year. But we want to really get local businesses moving. And I've got to praise Councillor Stroud. She spearheaded this entire issue. Now, it's been done in other communities. She recognized that. And she's really been a champion for it, and it was really her who initiated this cause. So well done to her.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about the 10-year plan to end homelessness, as well as council waiving business license fees for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, just one last question, or I guess topic for you. We heard last week that the provincial legislative assembly voted against a motion which would have overturned the EMS dispatch system in Calgary, Red Deer, and Lethbridge. I know we weren't part of that specific motion due to us being in court right now with our whole ongoing situation there. But just your thoughts on the province voting this down. And I know that one local MLA, Layla Goodridge, who said that she voted against it because of political reasons, but again, that it was voted against.
Yeah, of course I'm disappointed. EMS is something that's close to my heart. I really think we need champions at every political level. So whenever something like this fails, then of course I'm disappointed. But we are in court. You know, we'll have our day in court, and we're going to move it forward. But every elected official is going to be held accountable by voters at some point. They'll need to explain to voters how they made their decisions during their term. If this is something that's important to voters, then they need to let their elected officials know that. You know, it's something that's absolutely critical to me.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, I know you're pretty tight on time right now, but I think that's pretty much all the questions I have, unless there's anything else you'd like to share for our listeners.
No, I just hope everyone's staying safe out there. I know there's a lot of concerns out there about the recent rise in the COVID numbers. Please stay safe. We want to protect our frontline workers and get the economy moving again. The sooner we get through this pandemic, the sooner our economy is going to be moving again. We did get an update on the vaccines, and my recollection is that we were getting about 400 a day done at this time. So there is progress for those who want the vaccine. It's starting to be much more widely available, and we should see that even increase in the future based on what we heard last night. So there's progress being made for those who want it on the vaccine front as well. So please stay safe.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, as always, we always appreciate it when you spare a couple of minutes to come on the show.
Yes, take care, everyone.
Once again, that was Mayor Don Scott. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.